What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and we are also joined by John Kegley. Today, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, and we are about to go into our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, it's the Super Bowl Friday, the Friday before the Super Bowl, and I know we're all excited to be able to have this great matchup this weekend, and we're going to be getting into that on today's show. We're going to be talking about the matchup between the 49ers and the Chiefs and talk about how the game's going to go, and me and John Kegley are going to make some predictions at the end of the show. But before that, we have some fan voicemails that we get into. We have three today. We got one from Pat, one from Craig, and one from Lamlock or Hamhock. I mean, depending on who you're asking, if you're asking Tim. And then we have one more segment, which is the news today. And the news of the day is that Melvin Gordon, once again, is saying that he wants to return to the Chargers. And he's kind of been wandering around media day in Miami leading up to the Super Bowl. And he also had some other interesting comments to say as well. But let's go ahead and get into it. After the huge public dispute in the offseason with the Chargers, once again, Melvin Gordon is announcing that he wants to come back to the Chargers while also kind of incriminating himself to the Los Angeles fan base. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Melvin Gordon is at Media Day in Miami and he's been talking to a bunch of radio stations, and one of the most interesting things that he has said so far is that he really wants to come back to the Chargers, saying, "Hopefully I'm here. Hopefully I don't have to wait till March to know where I'm going to play," basically insinuating that he hopes the Chargers could extend him before he hits the open market, obviously worrying about what he's going to make on the open market at this point. And he also said, when it comes to business, you have to take your emotions out of it. It's not about if you deserve to be here or not. I've talked to Tom plenty of times. He tells me you deserve to get paid, but sometimes it might just not be the right situation. So David, to me, that sounds a little bit like Tom Telesco letting Melvin Gordon down easy and basically saying, "We can't pay you." I mean, it seemed unlikely before the season that he was going to get that big Zeke or David Johnson or Todd Gurley type of money. Obviously, it was a train wreck of a holdout. He didn't get the money he wanted. He missed additional money because of the games that he missed. And now it seems like, once again, he's trying to get back in the good favor of Tom Telesco while trying to get re-signed to the Chargers.
Yeah, well, if he wants to get re-signed to the Chargers, Daniel, it's going to be for a whole lot less money than he was looking for before his holdout. And, you know, that's because Tom Telesco did not like how that went over, and he voiced that as much in his end-of-year press conference with the media. He, you know, definitely made his disdain for the whole holdout situation very clear. He was not happy. He didn't like it at all, and that left a bad taste in his mouth, and I'm sure that still is kind of lingering right now with Melvin Gordon saying, "Hey, I want to stay here." He just doesn't have much interest in bringing Melvin Gordon back, it seems. Although Tom Telesco is one of those guys at the press conference that has the ability to say a lot of words without saying very much at all, so you can't really read too much into his comments. He's always extremely politically correct.
You're right about that. I mean, the Chargers aren't usually making any waves as far as that go for the most part, but it's just come full circle because we had Melvin Gordon basically saying that he was not going to come back to the Chargers the next year. Those were the reports that Melvin Gordon was going to move on, and yet here we are, and he's about to get paid whatever the market values him at. One other thing that was interesting that he said in Miami was that the Chargers would have had a better fan base if they played their games in Qualcomm in San Diego, or whatever you want to call the stadium nowadays. Which to me, David, I know that seems like it's talking bad about the Los Angeles fan base, but it's kind of hard to dispute. I mean, the Chargers didn't have the best home crowd when they were in San Diego, but it didn't often look like the last few games of this regular season when every single game was absolutely filled with the opposing fans.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't remember a time very often in San Diego where it was 80, 90% opposing fans, and that seemed like it was the norm throughout their short time that they spent at the soccer pitch in Los Angeles. So Melvin Gordon saying that he thinks that after a 12-4 season, the next season, that they would have a lot more fan support in San Diego, and I would happen to agree with that. I think that definitely would have been the case because Los Angeles still doesn't care about the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers are still insignificant. They're still less popular than the college basketball teams. I mean, they're just irrelevant. They're still trying to make their footprint in the Los Angeles market. And after a 5-11 season, they definitely didn't do themselves any favors in that department. So, I mean, I think Melvin Gordon has some truth to what he's saying, although it's definitely not going to endear himself to the Los Angeles Chargers front office when it comes to wanting to re-sign with the team. So he might have hurt himself with how candid his comments were.
And the Chargers tried to separate themselves from San Diego by any means necessary. I mean, that's the last two words that they want to hear brought up in any situation, especially regarding their players talking to the media about it. So it's definitely not going to help him win favor with the Chargers. He'd probably be better if he wasn't talking so much, if he wants to get brought back. I don't think that it's a good deal, more than likely, for the Chargers to bring him back with the money that he wants to get paid. I've said that before. I don't think I would do it. But the Chargers obviously still have their work cut out for them as far as trying to bring new fans to the games, especially when they're going to have to fill out a 70,000 seat stadium. And that part is yet to be determined, because right now it doesn't seem like there's going to be even enough of the other team's fans to fill a stadium that big. But we do have two more segments to get into, getting into our Fan Voicemail Friday segment of the show before wrapping things up with our Super Bowl preview and predictions coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that obviously Super Bowl Sunday always gets me super excited. And another thing that always gets me excited, say it with me now, is Blue Chew. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Just like Super Bowl Sunday, let's make babies. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. You can get Blue Chew for free when you go to BlueChew.com. You can get your first shipment free and only pay $5 in shipping, and the product is free. Again, that's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And speaking about the Super Bowl, guys, there's only one more game for you guys to get action on football season. And there's only one place to do it. If you enjoy football and you have a heartbeat, then you know what's coming. It's that time of the year. Plan a party, get the snacks ready, and get your wagers locked in, because the Super Bowl is finally here. You've got a feeling about who's going to bring home the Lombardi Trophy, and you do not want to miss out on your last chance to get your bets in before the NFL season ends. But when you're talking about the Super Bowl, the best bets are always the prop bets. How long is the national anthem going to go? What is going to be the color of Gatorade poured out from the winning team? And so on and so on. And nobody has more prop bets than MyBookie. Plus, if you deposit right now, guys, they will match your deposit halfway. Basically, that's free money to throw down on your best bet. This will be the last chance to take advantage of this sign-up offer. Just enter promo code LOCKEDON when you make your deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON to give your bankroll a jumpstart. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into something we do every single Friday and get into our Fan Mail Friday, getting into our voicemail. So if you guys want to get on the Locked On Chargers podcast, the number is 323-524-7924, and every Chargers voicemail gets on the show. We have three to get into today, and then two we're going to get into on Monday's show. But we're going to start with Pat, who has called in a bunch of times, but it's the first time in a little while that we've heard from Pat, so let's see what he has to say this week.
What's going on, guys? This is Pat from Long Beach. It's been a while since I called, but I've always been listening to every single podcast. Shout out to you guys, man. Sorry to hear about it, John. It was good having all three of you guys on there for all this time. It won't be the same, but glad you'll be a guest on here all the time. So first thing I want to say is rest in peace, Kobe, man. It's like when he died, it's like all the cliches that people say, it's like a family member died. It's like you lost a part of your childhood. He was this guy that you never thought would die, you know. So first and foremost, rest in peace, Kobe, man. He affected the city very much. I mean, the city's going to rally around him for him, you know, just like they did for Nipsey Hussle when he passed away. So, yeah, man, rest in peace to the GOAT. All right, so I want to get in on just listen to the podcast. I don't know which one, the one that was titled Kobe, but Yeah, I'm at work right now and I'm listening to it, and I see a lot of people questioning the quarterback thing. I just want to state that Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. Had probably one of the best collegiate seasons any player's ever had. You know, maybe you can compare maybe Cam Newton, you know. But I will say this, don't sleep on Tua. And the reason why I say I understand the injury part, everybody's like, he did not have this injury part. If you ask any other quarterbacks, coach, and guru, he has every single intangible, things that you need for a quarterback, everything you want in a quarterback, better than Joe Burrow, just because of his injury. Don't sleep on him. I think drafting, if you can get him, drafting him, possibly sitting him, you know, behind a veteran to learn from and to heal, you know, like Patrick Mahomes did for a year, you know, I'll do wonders. I think he's going to be a star in this league. And you don't want to pass that up. Other than those two, though, I don't believe in Justin Herbert. I don't believe in any of the other quarterbacks. So, yeah, man, shout out to you guys, man. I always look forward to the podcast, man. It's been a while since I called in, but like I said, I'm always listening. Rest in peace, Kobe. Bolt up, bolt out, ASAP, all day, every day. Let's go.
Well, Pat, I mean, I can definitely relate to you as far as, you know, it's been a rough couple of weeks. I mean, even starting with the John Kegley news, and then you have Kobe, and then you have Phil Rivers. I mean, it seems as if my life has been basically turned upside down over the last week, at least like my sports life, because it's just been such a crazy couple of weeks. But I just want to also say that it is cool to see you guys, you know, call in and hear you talk about Kobe and paying tribute to him, because we were kind of hesitant to do a lot of Kobe segments on the show this week because this is a Chargers podcast, but we can tell that you guys all have mad respect for Kobe, and we are all kind of grieving the same way as far as losing a sports icon, whether you're a Laker fan or a basketball fan or not. So I appreciate you saying that. But getting into what you said about Tua, the thing about Tua is I'm really high on Tua. I love the way that Tua plays. I think he probably would have been the number one overall pick if it weren't for the injuries. But the injuries are the big issue. I mean, if you're spending a draft pick that high on a quarterback, you don't want to end up with Sam Bradford. I mean, that's the worst fear, right? You get the no doubt about it prospect that just can't stay on the field. So as high as I am on Tua, and I think he's right up there with Joe Burrow as far as when he's actually on the field, John, I think that that's a huge risk to take when you don't get a draft pick like this very often.
It's a big risk, and it's not like he just had a simple injury that you just heal up and come back from. He had basically the Bo Jackson injury that ended Bo Jackson's career, so there's no telling how long he's even going to play if you pick him. Is he great? Yes, without a doubt. He was one of the top prospects throughout the whole year. Joe Burrow took over that number one spot, but if not for that injury, Tua versus Burrow probably would have been the biggest like draft debate since Manning Ryan Leaf. Like it would have been such a great topic to talk about.
Or at least, you know, Mariota, Jameis Winston, because that was a huge thing at the time.
Yeah, but and
RG3, Andrew Luck.
with that whole injury though, it's without a doubt I would avoid him unless he's there in like the third or fourth round where you can really just go, you know, it's worth the risk. I wouldn't touch Tua. I don't want to be that bad guy, but Chargers have injuries, a lot of them. There's no need to add to that with somebody that just had a major injury when you could just go with someone like a Jordan Love or a Justin Herbert instead.
And the thing about it is the Chargers don't have the training staff where you would look at it and say, oh, we have total confidence that no matter what, this guy is going to be in the best hands and they're going to be able to ease him along and not, you know, make him any more likely to re-injure the injuries he had. So what I would say is obviously you're not getting him anywhere close to the third or fourth round. So that's not going to be an option. If you want to take Tua, you're probably even going to have to be in the top five. I think there will be a lot of talk about someone trading into the top five to get Tua Tagovailoa. But I would be excited if they got him. I mean, it's an exciting prospect. I mean, the thought of if he's healthy, how good he could be for the Chargers, that is something that gets you excited. But part of that is mobility, and you don't know what that's going to be like coming off of this injury. But it would come with extreme caution because we just don't know how those are going to affect him going forward. But it's time to get into the next caller. One of my new favorite callers has been calling in for, you know, the last couple of weeks. We have Craig talking about Kobe and some other stuff. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey fellas, it's Craig. Just giving you a buzz here to touch on a couple of things. First and foremost, just say been a rough 2020 so far, man. Hopefully things kind of iron themselves out. Losing Kobe and his daughter and this whole Rivers thing hasn't been the greatest feel for fans. I know those two things are on opposite ends of the spectrum, but, you know, they're not great nonetheless either way. Just kind of want to talk to you a bit about, Rivers in general. Since Lynn showed up, he's actually been a real proponent of the mobile quarterback. He basically said it since the day he took the job, and everything he's done, from signing Cardell to Easton Stick, you know, and getting Tyrod, shows the type of quarterback he wants. Outside of him saying it, he's also showed it. So, you know, with that being said, some of what's going on with Phil right now, I feel, has a lot to do with Lynn just being the coach in general. He's not a huge fan of stationary quarterbacks. With that said, I don't think he ever planned on hitching his 4-year wagon to Phil. So, again, I don't think a lot of people are really thinking this through. It's very surface to think that it's just because Phil is older. I think it has a lot more to do with Lynn. But you guys let me know what you think about that. And also, in regards to the 6th pick, how bullish are you guys at staying there and taking a QB? Personally, I'd be all in on trading back, acquiring an additional 2nd or 3rd. Hopefully, getting Jordan Love there in the teams, and then just kind of building the offensive line and also the defensive line internally, especially in that defensive tackle position. But just wondering what you guys think on those topics, man. Let me know how you feel about it. Thanks again. Bolt up.
Well, first, let me just say that I didn't address it when we were talking with Pat, but I mean, at least at this point, the Phillip Rivers stuff kind of went out the window. Jay Glazer came back and kind of retracted what he said and basically said he wasn't actually saying anything, which is kind of what our take over here was the whole time. But John, as far as this week goes, before we get into the actual logistics of this question, what was it like for you? I mean, this week, obviously, just you talked about Kobe a little bit, but just the Kobe news with the Phillip Rivers news. I mean, it's been an emotional roller coaster, even if the Phillip Rivers stuff wasn't what we thought it was.
Well, I never really bought into the Phillip Rivers news. It's just kind of weird that some guy named Jay Glazer knows what's going on in the Chargers organization before someone like Adam Schefter or an Ian Rappaport knows what's going on. So I never really bought into it. All it did was just make me go, okay, let's just keep an eye out for the news segments now coming out. Let's see when Schefter's going to report on it. And it never really happened. I never bought into it. But the real emotional thing was Kobe. I'm still not over it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm still sitting in my room all alone, crying, watching his highlights and his press conferences and stuff. Like, it still hurts me. It hit me harder than anything has ever hit me in my life, even harder than the Chargers moving to L.A. I don't know if I'll ever get over that. The Phillip Rivers thing didn't really get much to it. But I will say, whether or not Rivers leaves or goes isn't going to be much of a emotional thing for me. I just want to know what's going to happen so I know how the Chargers are going to be attacking this offseason. Is Rivers coming back and we're going to be trying to go for the Super Bowl? Or we drafted a new QB and we're going to be rebuilding? Which one are you going to be doing?
Well, and let's get into the second part of his question, which is the thought of maybe possibly moving down from the 6th pick, getting someone like Jordan Love in the teens, as he says it here, and then maybe getting an extra 2nd-round pick, getting an extra 3rd-round pick. Obviously, it doesn't help you this year, but if somebody's trying to move up from the teens to get into the top 6 of the draft, I mean, that's probably going to come with an additional 1st-round pick next year as well. So I think there's a couple of teams that could try to do it that would make sense. But, John, what do you think of the Chargers, you know, possibly moving back in the draft and stacking up some draft picks and being able to try to fill out the team a little bit better?
This has actually been one of the options I'm entertaining it with my mock draft as I'm scouting a lot of these guys out. Jordan Love and Justin Herbert are my top 2 quarterbacks right now for the Chargers to take. I like Jordan Love. I feel like Jordan Love and Herbert are kind of the same type of player, but Herbert has way more speed. So if he was to take off running, it's going to be one of those Lamar Jackson type plays. I'm not going to say he's as good as Lamar Jackson, but it's going to be that explosive running QB style. Whereas if Jordan Love was to take off running, it'd be a Russell Wilson type of play. It would just take off, run for 7 yards, and slide down. You live to fight another day, and it's hard to stop. So if the Chargers want to go for the maximum amount of draft picks they can get so they can have more talent, young talent at that, I would like to trade back and get Jordan Love and then get a lot of corners, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, whatever you need to stack up on with the 2nd and 3rd round picks. And you're right. It could come with another 1st-round pick for the next year, but it is a top 10 pick, even 6. So I would like that. Herbert does kind of scare me a little bit because there's been times I've seen him and I'm just like, that don't look like an NFL QB. This is a Oregon system that just made that play look better than it should have been. I'm kind of up in the air right now, but Jordan Love, I'm starting to like a lot.
Yeah, I'm like here and there with Jordan Love, and I don't know if he's worthy of the 6th overall pick, but if you're talking about moving down to 10 or 12 or 15, I might be able to get a little bit more on board with it. I still need to watch more tape on all of these guys, and obviously as the draft season keeps going, I'm going to continue watching. But I like what I've seen from Herbert. I like what I've seen from Jordan Love. And I know, Craig, your take on Herbert. I've seen what you've said on Twitter. I know you don't want the Chargers to go that way. And for me, I mean, I would absolutely entertain the option of moving back because I'm not as sold on those guys. So I definitely like where your head's at. I think the Chargers never trade back enough. They never do enough in the draft to kind of move things around and make it advantageous to them that somebody else wants to go up and reach for something and mortgage their future. So I think this is such a big year for Tom Telesco. I know he has to try to nail this pick, and the most exciting pick is going to be a quarterback at 6, but I would absolutely entertain the option of moving back a little bit in the draft. So let's get into the last caller that we have today. It's your boy Lamlock calling in, the cursed one himself. Let's see what Lamlock has to say.
Hey, it's Lamlock, Fort Drum. It's been a rough week, especially with the passing of Kobe Bryant, my idol, my favorite player of all time. I know John's a huge Kobe fan, and it's just terrible. Condolences to him and his 13-year-old daughter and families of the 7 other victims. Very terrible. And the next day, 24 hours, I've seen reports of the livers getting moved on from the Chargers, and I hope it's not true, because that's just a terrible way to send off someone that's been loyal to you for 16 years. I think he deserves better, at least try to work something out. I know he moved away to Florida, but at least try something out, at least get off the line for him, because it's not fair for him to end a career like that as a Charger. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, Lamlock, it's really hard to make fun of you when you sound so sad. I just want to start by saying that. But I also want to say, of course, as always, thank you for your service. That means a lot to us over here at Locked On Chargers. But that doesn't mean we're going to stop making fun of you at all. I mean, you are the cursed one himself. But I agree with you as far as Philip Rivers. We just talked about those reports really weren't anything. So we don't have to worry about the Chargers, you know, just getting rid of Philip Rivers and having Philip Rivers find out from Jay Glazer, who already went back on what he said originally. But John, how important do you think this is for the Chargers, who have a history of disgruntled stars leaving in not the best of situations, to get this Philip Rivers situation right and to get something that makes Philip Rivers feel like he's not stabbed in the back by this organization?
Well, I think the real thing the Chargers have to do, it's not about whether you bring him back or not. It has to be, how do you let him know that you are moving on from him? Is he going to find out through Twitter?
Exactly.
Or is it going to be the Chargers saying, hey, Philip, can you come to the office? Or Philip can't make it to the office. It's, hey, man, so we decided we're going to move on from you. We appreciate everything you've done. When your career is done, let us know. We'd like to sign you to a 1-day contract so you can retire a Charger and forever be immortalized with our organization. Like, that's all you need to do to show Rivers that you appreciate him. You don't have to bring him back. Rivers understands that this is a business, and he knows if it's time to move on from him, he will know. But there's been too many times where the Chargers have figured out something by the owner or Tom Telesco or somebody just releasing it to Adam Schefter, and Schefter goes, hey, guess what, guys? Keenan Allen's got to get traded. And Keenan's like, well, when was I going to get told about this? Like, I'm just now figuring this out. There's so many things the Chargers do wrong. It's not going to be keeping them. It's, how are you going to tell Rivers that he's no longer a Charger? And if you can't get that right, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of free agents that are looking at this going, dude, they don't even appreciate a legend, their best quarterback that's ever had in this organization. How are they going to respect me, some guy that's a 3-star prospect that's probably going to make a $1 million contract? They're probably going to just treat me like crap, too. And I've already seen the Joey Bosa contract situation. I don't think this would be an organization for me to go to. I think it's a big thing to see how you handle the Rivers situation.
We still think that Tom Telesco is going to sit down with Phillip Rivers. That's what everything has said so far, and they're a pretty tight-lipped organization as far as information getting out there. With Melvin Gordon, they didn't want information out there unless it suited them and it was in their best self-interest, or if, you know, if Gordon was coming after them and they wanted to set the story straight. So if they don't want it to get out, it won't get out, and that the conversation has to go something like, Phil, we want to bring in a young guy. We need to start planning for the future. I know that you're a quarterback that probably doesn't want to have to fight for a starting position, which you shouldn't have to at your age. You should go somewhere where they want you to be the starting quarterback. But we're going to bring someone in and start planning for the future, and we don't want to entertain the idea of you being on the bench for us. It has to be something along those lines. I mean, and I think it still could, but the Chargers have all eyes on them as far as getting this one right after they've failed in so many other attempts with guys from the past. But we do have one more segment to get into. It's time to talk about the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl Sunday coming up, guys. One of the best national holidays of the season. So before we get into that, though, I have to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership at Metro Infinity, right off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the number one volume dealer in California, and one of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that you don't have to go into the dealership at all to get your car. It's no problem. They will bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. And they also want their customers to save some money, which they can do by going into Metro Infinity and telling them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there. If you guys are thinking about a new Infinity or in the market for any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. If you guys are looking for a new car, make sure to go to Metro Infinity, guys. Trust me, you won't regret it. All right, John, well, it's time to get into the final segment of the show today, talking about the Super Bowl. The Chargers' rival, the Kansas City Chiefs, are in the Super Bowl playing against the 49ers this weekend. And it's one of the Super Bowls that I'm looking forward to most, at least out of the last few years as far as these matchup goes. It's two really good head coaches. It's two really good teams going at it on Sunday. And, I mean, it's an excuse to sit around all day, eat a bunch of good food, watch TV all day, watch football all day, whether it's pregame or postgame or whatever, drink alcohol all day if you want to. I mean, there's just not many days better than Super Bowl Sunday, John, and I think we should be in for a pretty good game.
Yeah, it should be a really good game, and I think the real thing to be looking at is which side of the ball is one offense going to be explosive and which side of the ball is the other offense going to be struggling. Because if you look at the Chiefs, there's been times where they struggle really hard, but their defense has bailed them out in those games to give them most of their wins. And in the other games, when the Chiefs' offense is explosive, the defense is not there. On the 49ers' side, their offense can be explosive and fun to watch, especially with Kittle, but their defense is the strength of this team. That defense is strong, and the 49ers could score 23 points, but that defense will allow 14. Which side of the ball is this offense going to be explosive? Is the Niners' running game going to take over this game, or is Patrick Mahomes going to run all around the backfield and just complete passes to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce like it's nothing?
Well, and I think the scary thing about the Chiefs' offense is you can do so good against them for most of the game and have just a quarter of them exploding and putting up 28 points like we've already seen so far in this postseason. But historically, it's usually the good defenses or great defenses that overcome the best offenses, and that's going to be another test right here. There's been very few quarterbacks that have led offenses that have been really good against top two ranked defenses. And John, they say that defense wins championships, but at the same time, this is a very scary Chiefs offense.
The Chiefs offense is really scary. They have so much speed, it's unimaginable. And this speed would be nothing if not Patrick Mahomes' ability to escape the pocket, maneuver around, and then just do these most awkward throws you've ever seen. If this was a Tom Brady-led offense right now, Brady would be in the pocket looking to throw, but if you got the pressure on Brady, that speed would mean nothing because you wouldn't have time to throw the ball to them. You'd just be heaving up in the air and hope they catch up to it. Patrick Mahomes is able to maneuver around the pocket, and then if he turns around on his back foot, body twisted one way, arm throwing another way, he will somehow do the most awkward throw you've ever seen. The ball will still go 30 yards downfield and accurately find one of those speedy guys open, and then after they catch it, they're just gone. It's this offense is so scary. You have the right amount of things all coming together. A quarterback that can throw the ball no matter what position he's in, and a bunch of receivers that are fast. That combo right there, you either force them to make a stupid mistake and throw an interception, or the Chiefs beat you, because you're not going to win with the pass rush, because Mahomes will find a way to get rid of that.
Well, I think the biggest matchup in this game, at least for the 49ers side, is how is this offense going to look? I think Jimmy G is going to have to do better than 6 for 8. And I know that they've barely thrown the ball at all since Garoppolo threw an interception in the first playoff game. So it's going to be very interesting to see, because the Chiefs haven't had a good rush defense this year. I think they're the second worst according to DVOA, but they did have a good game against Derrick Henry. They also got up in that game, which basically eliminated Derrick Henry because he's had a pretty strong start to the game. But that's going to be where this game is won, John, because if the Chiefs can slow down the 49ers rushing attack, that's really going to limit what they're able to do, because Kyle Shanahan loves to be able to run the football, and he seemed like the last couple of weeks he's been trying to hide Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit.
One of the keys I have in this game is win the coin toss. If you win the coin toss, you want the ball first. If you're the 49ers, you want to establish your run game to keep Mahomes off the field, and all at the same time be the first to score. If you are the first to score, it means you get to keep your offense going. If Mahomes gets the ball first, he's going to want that ball first so that he can hurry up and try to get an early lead on the 49ers and eventually get a big enough lead to get rid of that running game and put the ball in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands. I don't think Jimmy G is going to be the guy to be clutch in this game. I said it, you heard it here first. I don't think he's going to be the clutch one. It's going to be the 49ers run game. If they can establish the run game early and keep up with the Chiefs, even if it means the score is 14-14 at halftime because you took up the first two quarters with two or three drives, you're keeping up with the Chiefs, and you get to keep running your offense, and eventually your defense can step up and stop the Chiefs at least one time. Plus, it's keeping Mahomes from getting into a rhythm. But if the Chiefs get the ball first and they are already attacking with a three-play touchdown drive, you might as well just kiss the Super Bowl goodbye.
Yeah, it's going to be too hard to try to keep up with the Chiefs if they're going to have an early lead. I mean, if one team really needs to be ahead at halftime to feel really good about their chances, it has to be the 49ers, because there's no way they can feel really good about being in any kind of deficit against this Kansas City Chiefs team, who can just keep on scoring. But the other big matchup is going to be that San Francisco 49ers dominant defensive line. Can they stay disciplined? Can they get to Patrick Mahomes? Can they force him to make a very ill-advised throw and, you know, have one of those across-the-body throws into the middle of the field come back to haunt them? And are the Chiefs just going to try to attack the non-Richard Sherman side of the field? Because obviously in the defense that the Chiefs, that the 49ers put out there, he's staying on the same side of the field for most of the game, and teams haven't been really effective going against that side. So they're going to pick on the other side of the field as far as this 49ers secondary. And I also think Fred Warner is a guy who's going to have a really big game for the 49ers defense as well, because there's one thing this Chiefs offense likes to do, and that's spread you out and attack the edges of your defense. And they're definitely going to try to do that with Eric Armstead and Nick Bosa and all those guys on the defensive line. But that's going to be one of those big things in this game, is can that 49ers defense keep Patrick Mahomes contained in the pocket, not let him do anything with his legs, and be able to get to him enough to have him make some bad passes that could end up in turnovers.
Well, and Eric Armstead is going to be a free agent this offseason, so you know he's going to be wanting that big contract.
And he's going to get it too.
If he wins the Super Bowl, that's a massive contract. There was guys like Ellerbe that played on the Ravens who had a really good postseason and got major money from the Dolphins afterward, but he never lived up to that contract. Eric Armstead is going to be looking for that contract, and so he's going to have to show it in the Super Bowl. Even if they don't win the Super Bowl, but he shows that he was able to get after Patrick Mahomes, somebody in the AFC West might be willing to pay that guy that money just to go after Patrick Mahomes. I think the AFC West should be watching this game, and whatever the 49ers have on defense that's effective against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs has got to be the guy you go after. But you know what a funny little topic could be in here, Wade?
What?
If the 49ers win the Super Bowl, Jason Verrett will get a ring before the Chargers do.
That seems pretty fitting, but We're going a little long, and I agree with everything you said, and Eric Armstead is absolutely going to get paid, and teams like bringing in guys who have Super Bowl experience. That's just what it is at the end of the day. Obviously, you want a good player as well, but teams really value that experience of, you know, you are a Super Bowl winner, and having that amongst their guys. They like that. But let's get into what we think is going to happen, John. Who's going to win this game?
I've had a rough time going back and forth on this, but in the end, I think the Chiefs are winning this Super Bowl, sadly. But this is what happens when you put in the effort to build a team and put in a coach that's going to actually work hard and work with the team he has and take passion into his work. Just to think the Chargers had a chance at Andy Reid, and now he's a Chief. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I'm going to go the Chiefs 37, 49ers 24.
I could see that happening. I think it's either going to be a score like that, or it's going to be a score like 49ers 27, Chiefs 24, and they just do enough to limit and not stop that Chiefs offense. I've gone back and forth on it as well. I've been riding the Chiefs in this playoff run just because it's so hard to bet against them at this point. I definitely wouldn't put any money against the Chiefs on this one. And yes, unfortunately, you know, I think it is going to be the Chiefs. And for a franchise that hasn't won a Super Bowl in 50 years, I mean, as Charger fans, you should be able to appreciate that a little bit, even if it is your arch rival. And it's not that I want the Chiefs to win, but there's really nobody I want to win in this game. I'm just hoping for a good game. At the end of the day, I think that the Chiefs offense just has so much that they can do against you. And they're so good at evolving and adjusting and getting better offensive performances in the second half, even if they didn't do well in the first half or even in the second quarter, as we've seen in some cases. So I'm going to agree with you. I think it is going to be the Chiefs. I think the 49ers' great defense is going to be able to slow them down a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think they're just a little bit too much to contain. And I know that goes against the NFL historically as far as good defense versus good offenses in the Super Bowl. But I think this Chiefs team might be the exception. So I'm going to go with a score of Chiefs 31, 49ers 28. I think it's going to be a really close game, or at least I'm hoping it is. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thank you to everyone who called in. Thank you for John Kegley, because he always brings it as always, and I just love having him on the show because we always have the best conversations. But until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. We'll be back with you guys on Monday. Have fun winning the Super Bowl. If you guys want to call in and get in on Monday's show, make sure to call 323-524-7924 because every Chargers voicemail gets on the show. And we also have Donnie from Wisconsin and Brandon calling in from Massachusetts. You guys will be on the next show. We will talk to you guys next week. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.